You know, there's a command in the scripture that says, be thankful. You know that, don't you? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Beautiful word of God. And you know, the word will never pass away. It cannot change. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. It's a commandment of God. In fact, it is the will of God for you to be thankful, full of thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says that. And it says this, it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a high order. That is a high order. Be ye thankful. Commandment of God. Our prayers are to be with thanksgiving. Our heart is to be with thanksgiving. Our actions are to be with thanksgiving. I'd like us to view it from the angel's viewpoint. They look down on us and they see themselves working for us. Oh no, he's in another fix, and they swoop down. Got this, quick, go over and get that one. All right, and go over and get that one. Oh, give him a blessing over here and say, come out and bless him. Lift him up in the spirit over there. Bless him up. Go over here and help this one there over here. Whew. Boy, I tell you, these people must really be loved a lot by God. And these angels are ministering. And they come to this guy for the 5,849th time. And this guy is ungrateful. And they say, you don't know what God has done for you. And here he is again helping you in your prayer. If we only could see it from the angel's viewpoint. If we could only see how often God has intervened in our life. How much he has done for us. How thankful we would be. In Psalm 107, this psalm is such a beautiful psalm. It says one verse five times in the same chapter. Psalm 107. Let me read it to you. You find it first. Let me start verse 1. Oh, give thanks. That's a commandment. Unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And he gathered them out, and they wandered, hungry and thirsty, cried unto the Lord. He led them out. And then verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul. And then it goes on through. But then they brought down in sorrow, and then they cry unto the Lord, and he brings them out. Verse 15, the angel says again, as it were, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then it goes on, oh, because God is so good to us, but we get in trouble. And so he delivers us again when we cry unto him. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Because he does all this wonderful stuff, we get in a problem, and then we cry on the Lord, and he saves us out of it. And then, verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Are you getting it? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. If we could see it like the angels see it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Oh my, we would be so full of thanks. I think we would be like Apostle Paul. He couldn't write a letter to anybody, but he'd have a Holy Ghost breakdown. He'd write, oh, grace be unto you from the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, the God of all glory and grace, who's given us all comfort and joy. And he's just lost in the Spirit. He says, now back to, and then he goes gone, gets carried off again. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, listen to this. But ye are a chosen generation. Did you hear it? Chosen. I love being chosen. Don't you love being chosen? I love being chosen. Chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Holy. How bad you want to be, and I want to be holy, and we are. A peculiar or special people. That, and this is they gave you four reasons to praise God. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are all those things that you should show forth his praises. That you should show forth his praises. On the job. How you doing, Sam? Fine. You don't look fine. You don't talk fine. You don't sound fine. You sound like you're as unsaved as some of the rest of them sometimes. You know how it can be. How you doing today? Oh, glad you asked. I've been waiting to tell you about Jesus. I've been waiting to love you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, the seraphim, do you know who they are now, don't you? Marvelous revelation of God given to Isaiah concerning man-child company and bride saints in the end of time. Those called to praise Him. Do you know what happened when they shouted, holy, holy, holy? You know what happened? The place about shook apart. It about shook the place apart. It says the foundations of the threshold were shaken and the house was filled with smoke at the voice of them that cried. I'm telling you. That's right. Those birds out there, they're praising God in a way, you know what I mean? But they can't do near as good of a job as you and I. We can praise God so much higher than that bird can. It's not true that the ant is the best witness. You know, he's busy about his work and so forth. We can praise God so great. Above all creation, we can praise God. And the smoke is a response of God to it. It's as if God is so big and He is so great and it is so obvious to the angels and all creation that if man doesn't praise Him, it's like the whole thing goes into a, you know, and the rocks cry out. But when we do, it's like they go, wow, you're getting a revelation. And the smoke filled the house. God came and dwelt in those praises. You can't draw near to God as much as you can when you come in with a heart full of gratitude and praise to Him. Do you know that ingratitude is contrary to nature? It's one of the most hideous crimes there is in nature. Ingratitude. That's true. Because the animals themselves are grateful. There is not an animal in creation that is not grateful. There's not a bird that you feed that doesn't remember that. And you know, you can make them friends. A dog, a cat, animals. They are affected by things that you do good to them. There are many stories of animals that have been helped by humans that were wild and they had something, you know, mend up or something like that. And they actually befriended them through it. I mean, ingratitude is contrary to nature. Even in natural things, people, animals even are grateful. And it should be a normal response. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 1, God who had His people praise Him through the temple sacrifices, they lost their gratitude. And He says, oh, just forget the whole thing. That's what He said. And in Psalms chapter 50, the same thing. There's a long section on there. He was looking for praise. He said He just wants praise out of our hearts. And because they had lost their gratitude to God, He says, oh, just forget the whole thing. Forget all those sacrifices. I didn't want that anyway. If I'd have wanted that, I could have had a big sacrifice. But I didn't want that. And we see in Psalm chapter 100 and verse 4 that gratitude must precede praise. Gratitude must precede praise. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You have thankfulness. That's gratitude. Thanksgiving. You enter into the gates. Oh, praise Jesus. I'm so thankful to be here. I feel so grateful to God that I'm a part of Israel and that I can come into the tabernacle of God. Oh, I feel so grateful to have the priests, to have the sacrifices. I'm so grateful that I'm able to have my sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I'm so grateful. And then into His courts with praise. And after you worship, after you sacrifice, then you can begin to praise God. But there's gratitude. You see, that must precede it. God's people should be full of gratefulness. Now, what... And then one more, Romans 1:21. There we see that the reason why generations and thousands and millions have entered into darkness is because of ingratitude. And it says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Are you grateful tonight? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Well, what's the dance? The dance, all it is an expression of gratitude coupled with joy. That's all it is. An expression of gratitude coupled with joy. And it's one of the highest expressions. And we see it in Psalms 149 and Psalm 150. And you know the last five psalms of the psalm are all praise. The whole thing is just praise, praise. They all begin and end with hallelujah, and they're all full of hallelujahs in the middle. And it's praising them with everything you can get your hand on. Really. Anything you can get your hand on. Praise them with, you know, timbrel and a harp and everything else. You know? And I sometimes think about Keith Johnson that way. Everything you can get his hands on, you know, just praising the Lord. Just up and down that thing. And the other pianist. And it's a high expression of praise, and the dance is mentioned in both those chapters. The first time you see dancing in the Bible is in Exodus 15, verse 20. And after they'd seen the Egyptians, fear struck their heart, and all of a sudden, the Red Sea opened up. And they saw that, you'd have looked the same way. And they took off over that thing. And they knew the Egyptians were close. But look at this. And water up on both sides, marching through that place. And they got up on the other side, and here they're coming after them. You can bet there's some screaming, and there's some wondering, and that water's washed in. Imagine, think about it. The thousands and hundreds of thousands probably that were drowned at that time. Y'all guess they danced. They got up on that seashore, and Miriam took her timbrel and woo! She got all those ladies, and they went out there, and they began to dance. And I mean, they danced. Exodus 15. They danced because they had a joy in their heart, and the Egyptians were drowned, and they sang the song. That's right. That's when it first started there. I mean, that's when we first see it. You see that several places in the Bible, dancing is the exact opposite of mourning. You see, it's joy. It's an expression of joy because you're grateful for what God has done. There's a time to mourn, it says, and a time to dance. And that's the antithesis, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And like our brother read in Psalm 30, thou hast put off mourning, and now you have given me dancing for mourning. So it's just the opposite. And so we see that dancing is gratitude and mixed with joy, because of joy. Now I want you to quickly turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Believe it or not, I'm just nearing the end of my message. 2 Samuel 6. Now, if you were to find a man after God's own heart, and then to see what he did in his praise to God, what would you find? David, right here. He was called a man after God's own heart. Now, what I'm going to show you in these verses here is proof enough. There wouldn't have to be another verse on dancing in the whole Bible. By the way, they danced when the prodigal son came back. And that's the way some feel, you know, when they're dancing. I have to admit that my mind, I just feel like this is the most normal thing there ever was. And I think back on how I used to think about it, and I don't know how it all got switched around. I really don't. I don't understand it. But it's just like the most normal thing there ever was. And because of the gratitude. Now, without the gratitude, without the motive, it's just really distasteful. It really is. It's just distasteful. It's not that beautiful, but when it comes out an expression of love for Jesus Christ, my, just such a normal, natural thing. And we see in 2 Samuel 6, starting in verse 12, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains in him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. 6 paces, that's not that far. And it's a ways from that city to Jerusalem. Can you imagine how many oxen that was and fatlings? I mean, this brother David really was thankful. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might. Might, with all his might. Oh, I just felt so akin to what our brother shared. There is such a love. There is such an expression and a flow of love that you are waiting to experience. And you can have it. And David was girded with a linen ephod. He was in the righteousness of Christ. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal saw his daughter, looked through a window, and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Now go down to verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord." In his mind, that answered everything. That answered everything. And in your mind, that should answer everything. Personally, I have had, because of seeing fleshly dancing, I've had a distaste toward it, I have to admit, in the past. I mean, it's hard to relate to now, but I did. I had a distaste. And in my heart and mind, when I saw one of the dear intercessors begin to dance, it started with one intercessor. She got out on the floor and just danced. It was so beautiful. And it was so holy. It was so reverent. It was so special. It was almost as if, remember how God kind of stripped Barbara Barnett before us? That morning she shared testimony. God just broke her and she experienced the Son of Man right while she was testifying. And God just stripped her there before us so we could see what it was like. It's like this is what the Lord did with this saint, dear saint. And she was dancing and it was so beautiful. I was so impacted. And it had nothing to do, it could have been a man. In fact, personally, I have enjoyed the dancing of men more than the dancing of the women. And I'm not sure why. I think it's because maybe I'm a man too, and I realize that, boy, they really got to be free, you know. And because, the ladies, they're freer, kind of, I think. But to see a man there, I'll tell you, I felt like taking Lara Walkemeyer home with me. I'll tell you, when he danced before the Lord, it was so beautiful. It did something to me. It did something to me. And it's so pure. It's so holy. It's so reverent. I talk about it in a whisper kind of. You know what I mean? It's just so pure. And she began to dance. And it was just like, boy, I shattered so many things. I mean, I'm sure things are just getting busted off all over the place. Just broken down and everything else. And it was obvious that she was so unself-conscious. She was not aware of herself at all. It was before the Lord. It was before the Lord. It was so obvious it was before the Lord. You know, when somebody does, you know how in the world everybody's self-conscious? You know that. Everybody walks and they're all aware of how you're looking at them, you know. And so they'll walk a certain way, I'm cool, man, you know. Or the girls, how they walk along, or whatever they do. I can't copy that one. And they're aware that you're watching. You ever notice that? And if you make a slight movement or whatever, they kind of look over at you because they're sure you're looking, see? Everybody's like that. I remember because I was there and I hated it. Oh, I hated it. It was so good to get free of that. But there they are, and you notice it. But when you're free in the Spirit, you're not self-conscious. You're not conscious of anybody else either. It's just conscious of the Lord. You're doing it before the Lord. And that's the beauty about when your eyes are open. Now, I like to keep my eyes closed a lot, but I open them quite a bit too, I guess. But I find it so easy to look in people's eyes. Because it's before the Lord, and there's the Lord. It's before the Lord, and there's the Lord. Take their hand. And I danced with my wife. And I danced with the brethren. Hate to say it, honey, but it doesn't make much difference. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter whether it's male or female. And my wife nods her head. She knows what it means. Although I feel a kinship and there's an appreciation. There's something that it is a difference there. But as far as male, female, anybody, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at all. It's a thing that's pure in the Spirit of God. I don't know as I've ever experienced something quite like this. So free and so beautiful. And so priceless in the eyes of God. And it's all because of what David said right here. It is before the Lord. It is before the Lord. If you can dance before the Lord, then you can dance. And you should dance with the brethren. You should dance with the brethren. Which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, even Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. I'll play before the Lord. I'm going to have a good time before God. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. And I will yet be more vile than thus. And I will be base in mine own sight. My, what a glorious thing. And that's what some of you need to do. Get base enough in your own sight. You just come up and dance and say, well, I guess I'm just not going to care about what I look like anymore. Just not going to care. And if you're worrying about the steps or whatever like that, if you're doing it before the Lord, you won't have to worry about it. You just won't have to worry about it. You won't have to worry about it. And therefore Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. I left out this one verse. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. And that's what you're going to find. The innocent and the pure in heart are accepting this and loving it and just entering in with their whole heart. Gratitude in this dance before the Lord is such an intimate expression. It's an expression, and one of the reasons why it's so intimate, and I feel this way too, as I'm dancing before the Lord and then I'm conscious of my brethren. It's so intimate because you have stripped yourself. At least I know that's how I feel. I have stripped myself. I've stripped myself. I just feel naked. And I don't care. In fact, it's glorious because it's before the Lord. And anything that my brethren see, I mean, I just have no judgment. Just have no judgment. Doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter what you think because I love you so much that I'm just not going to worry about you. You know what I mean? And when I see others dancing in the spirit, it's just such a beautiful thing. There's a knitting of heart because if you've ever entered into an intimate relationship with someone, they become so dear to you, you know? And that's what happens in this dancing before the Lord. You're stripping yourself before God. And you're just giving Him all the glory, the intimate expressions of your heart. Now let me say, in closing, I'm just going to ask a couple of questions and then answer them. First of all, motive is all important. All important. The dance is a byproduct. It's not a means to an end. No. You don't dance to get something. You don't dance to get something. It's a byproduct. It's an expression. It's a manifestation of what is coming out from within. And make sure that your heart is right. But see, many of you have your heart right and you need to express it now. You make sure your praise is unto God and you're doing it before the Lord. Who should dance? All should dance. I want to give you one beautiful scripture. Just bless my soul. I'd never seen this one. Jeremiah 31. And I know this scripture. You'll recognize it as soon as I read the first verse. Starting in verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, if you think that's good, look down at verse 12. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. I hope you're getting all what I'm saying. I have to admit, I didn't interpret it or anything. But you're drawn with the love of God. And He's drawing us, and it's love that we're experiencing. It's love. It's love, as our pastor said, for many months. This is the next move and the next wave. And as the pastor's wife has said, it's going to be the dance. It's love. And God is building us. And we will be built. Virgin. Pure, holy, undefiled. And again you shall go forth and make merry in dancing. Verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. For wheat, and for wine, and for oil. See, all the blessings that God has given us in His Word, and in His blessing, and in His presence, and in the richness of His strength, and for the and in His anointing. And for the young of the flock and of the herd, their souls coming in. And their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the priest, when it's all taken the idea of the image of Israel here, would be referring to ministers and whatnot. And he's doing just that. And I minded how, you know, we're all in a motley crew trying to go through an open door. And God says, uh-uh. No. Get all back into shape. And the pastor goes first. Remember, the first one in the eldership who danced was the pastor a couple years back. And then the elders are coming in. Now, and it's going to be as a group. And that's what's happening. And we're going through orderly. The whole body is now coming along. Oh, it's so beautiful when God does it. You know, before just to hear there, here a little, there a little. Now God's wanting to bring the whole bunch of us in like a wedge, just right through this door, this particular door of praise before the Lord. Now, I think that this is the big difference of what God is doing too. It's a body thing, the whole body. We're all the virgin daughter of Israel. We're all being redeemed and therefore to rejoice in the dance. And so it's a corporate praise, and that's one of the most marvelous things about this. And it's knitting the hearts together. And I told my wife today, I think it was, or yesterday, I guess, I am falling in love with the saints. And I bet you thought I was going to say Jesus, and I am to him too. When you fall in love with the saints, you fall in love with Jesus. But I'm falling in love with the saints. And I tell my wife, I want to take Jerry Sleminski home with me too, you know. That brother, I love that brother. I love him. And just such a deep thing. I haven't experienced things like this before. I thought I'd had a lot of experiences in that love of God, and it was new for me, but my, keeps growing. It's a corporate thing. Now, when should we dance in the Spirit? Well, brother, glory. The Holy Ghost sets your feet a-dancing. We couldn't dance too much back when we had that song in the chapel, but now we can. And Brother Smith Wigglesworth is a testimony to many. He would get up every morning, and then his 2 or 3 or 4 hours of prayer, he'd get up, and I think he got up at 4:30 every morning. And you know what he'd do for the first 20 minutes, I think it was? Dance. First thing he'd get up. He'd get up and he'd dance. And he'd just dance and he'd praise the Lord. And brother that's the apostle, was the apostle in Indiana, Summerall, visited him one time. And he came into his house right in the middle of one of his prayer meetings. And he walked in, and Smith Wigglesworth threw his arms around him and bounced around with him. He bounced around the house with him for a while and just hugged him close and just danced away with him. Just, oh, brother. Boom. Just danced with him. Just the freedom of his heart. That brother Smith Wigglesworth, he was a man full of faith. 2 years ago, God did a real work in my heart. And I thought, I'm going to try this. And it lasted for about a year. I'm not sure why I quit, really. I'd dance every morning. I'd get up and I'd dance before my prayer time. It was so beautiful. I still wasn't delivered, you know, because I guess it was because it was private. But it was so beautiful to me. I mean, and it was just so marvelous. We even had a couple of our family devotions where we danced in the Spirit. I should have seen our family devotions. When was it, Thursday? We had a wonderful time. But it was just so precious. And I experienced. And I'll tell you what my mind went through. Lord, I love you. You mean everything to me. I just look forward to spending time with you. Why can't I dance? I can. So I'm going to. So I did. And it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. And I danced for a while, and it was just so marvelous. It was just so edifying. There's a brother, you can do it. There's a brother, and his name is, I hope you don't mind me telling on him, Zeke Rice. But he was teaching Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, and they were teaching on David dancing before the Lord. And there was he and a helper, I guess, a girl, and they were going to, you know, portray it and everything, and they were talking about, I believe, that morning before, as they were in prayer time, and she says, well, you know, we're doing David dancing before the Lord and everything, and, well, I guess I'll be Michael. That means you're David. That means you dance. And he said, yeah. Uh-oh. I better practice. And so he went in the side prayer room. And guess what he did? Danced before the Lord. And his soul was liberated. He felt such a freedom and a blessing in it. And when he got before those children in the old chapel over there at worship time, he danced before the Lord. And he danced before the children. Down the aisle, up the aisle, and across the front. He danced. He said it was a precious experience to his soul. You know, if you have gratitude in your heart to Jesus Christ, you can dance. You can dance. And if it's out of love for him, there's a freedom and a release in the Spirit that is godly and it's reverent and it's sacred. And every one of us, I feel, need to experience this.